As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell, Matt, how are you doing tonight?
Clearly better than you.
Yeah. Oh, man. You are not lying. I'm in pretty bad shape, man. I've been sick. Like all week long, and this morning I woke up, I was doing a little bit better, so I was trying to save my voice all day long, just to be able to get on mic with you, and so here we are. But you know what? It's probably apropos, because I don't have a whole lot to say about this episode. not to tip the bean can too much, but let's just say I don't get to hit the "we were way off wrong" button all that much, but if we had one, we'd be hitting it this week.
Yeah.
We're going to get into all that, of course, but first we want to give a shout out to our friends over at patreon.com/TV Talk for making this podcast happen. If you'd like to join the group there, join the Discord, get the great benefits, and support the show, it's patreon.com/TV Talk. We are here now because of them, and we thank you guys so much for making the show happen. So we do have an episode to talk about. It is it's definitely an episode. And it sets up some things, it wraps up some things, and you know, this is normally when we'd be doing a season finale. So
some friends become enemies, some enemies become friends.
Exactly. Oh man. All right, man, let's jump into it. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's jump into the rundown. Episode 11 of season 7, Family Matters Part 2, directed by Chad Lowe and story by
Steve.
Sorry, Family Matters reference. Anyway, story by Jonathan Butler and Gabriel Garza.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, Iris, Alexa, and Bashir fake their deaths and escape using an illusion. Bashir convinces Alexa to go back and fight Nora, who conjures a storm that knocks out Cecile with lightning and sets prisoners at Iron Heights free. Frost escapes prison to defeat an escaped Chilblain. Barry fails to rescue Dion, and Allegra consoles Joe. Barry confronts Nora, but she reveals that the other forces conjured the storm. Dion turns on Nora, but is forced to retreat. Joe proves to Barry and Iris that they're not bad parents, and they reconcile with Alexa, Bashir, and Dion. They overpower Nora while the storm nears critical mass and threatens to snap back and destroy everything. Bashir and Dion show Nora a future completely empty of others, overwhelming her and convincing her to stop. With time running out, the forces aid Barry so that he is fast enough to stop the storm. The forces reconcile and depart to expand the Speed Force. Cecile awakens, and meanwhile, while at CC jitters with Allegra and Chester, Cisco and Camilla are forced to make their decision to leave. Frost returns to Caitlin's apartment on probation for her efforts during the storm, admitting her crush on Chilblain, while Barry and Iris try to process everything and decide to start a family.
Instead of da-da-da, I kind of feel like we need to go bow-chicka-chicka-wow.
I think that's applicable in this situation for sure.
Oh, man. Well, I like to start off with the positive. That is, we're a positive podcast. We are a fan podcast. We are people who enjoy the show. and enjoy what it does well. And there was some great points, great moments in this. I will say one of the things I really loved is that I really loved the representation of the Speed Force in terms of the location they went to go fight. It seemed very much kind of like, I don't know if you ever played the Speed Force area, I suppose, in DC Universe Online, but it kind of was reminiscent of that for me.
Interesting. Okay. No, I don't believe I played that part, but
I'm talking about during the battle, not necessarily the house situation.
Right. Like the tunnel of Speed Force-iness that they're in.
Right.
Yeah. That's neat.
Yeah, that was cool. Also thought that the fight sequence as a whole had some nice moments.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool stuff there, you know, lightning blasts and, you know, super speed and tentacles.
Yeah.
Magenticles, I should say.
Yeah, of course. Chillblained and Frost, definitely shipping them.
Yeah, what would that be? Frostblane?
Frostblane?
Or Chost?
Chost.
I kind of like Chost because it sounds like a Chad, and like Chillblain is totally a Chad.
Totally a Chad. Right, let's go with Chost so that the internet will go with Frostblain because, you know, they never go with what we choose.
Yeah.
Never go with what we choose. But I was feeling, I thought there was some good chemistry between the two. It's interesting because like she has this like, you know, very kind of hardcore mode, but she's also like, I've never kissed a boy. Like there's this kind of this like back and forth between, which fits the way that her character has been written that, you know, she would have this kind of duality to her character. And so having her kind of interact with Chillblain like this, I think is really great. Chillblain rocking the Chad vest jacket.
Oh yeah. Super Chad. Chad it out. Just Chad to the gills.
Chad to the max, man. All the way through.
He should be called Chadblade or Chadblain.
But I liked them, man. And it was nice to see Frost going, you know, really kind of embracing the hero role. I got to say, there's not much I called about this, but I did say that she was probably going to be let out because of doing the right thing.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a little bit different. Like, I thought there might be a scene in there where, like, everybody's busting out of Iron Heights and the cops are trying to stop and there's metas everywhere, right? And they come across Frost's cell and she's just sitting there. She's like, nope, I'm here serving my time. And, like, the warden or somebody comes up. He's like, we need your help. Can you please help us do this? And that's when she decides to go and help. And then that's why they would do it. And in my head canon, that's exactly what happened.
Mm.
But that's not what happened in the show, I don't think. She just kind of like, cool, I'm leaving, and then I'm going to go bust metas.
Yeah, it is interesting, because on the one hand, she's embracing that hero role, but on the other hand, like, the entire storyline about the metas being detained and the methods that they are being detained seems to be against meta detainment, and yet she's over here, like, kind of fighting to support the system that has unjustly locked her up.
Well, no. She was not unjustly locked up. She committed those crimes.
I guess that's true. That's fair, yeah.
The unjustness here that we're talking about was administering the cure to metas and denying them that portion of themselves. Like, that was the injustice. Like, you know, a meta criminal goes to prison because they commit a crime, and, like, there's nothing unjust there about them. I don't know that the way they treated them in prison and how they had them, you know, isolated and whatnot, so that could be something. But, yeah, you know, it's just like, in this situation, it's just like any other prison, right? Like, they're escape convicts, and somebody's trying to put him back in there.
I mean, that's fair. I guess I was thinking specifically because of the way in which Kramer's storyline was tied in directly to Frost's storyline, that when we see Frost, you know, released, that it would be in some form or fashion tied to, like, Kramer's, I guess, aha moment, or you know, maybe her redemption arc would be tied to Frost's release. This was, you know, entirely separate, really.
No, my headcanon covers that because it's Kramer who comes up to her in Iron Heights and says, we need your help to get these metas. I've lost too many men and I won't lose any more. And so either you come and help me or I shoot you with the cure. And she's like, well, I don't know. Kramer, no, that wouldn't help her.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, like, the thing is, cool concept, but we didn't see it. And the other thing, too, is that we, you know, we're not done with this season. You know, while normally this would be the season finale and, you know, they're definitely our kind of season finale elements, which is kind of nice because it does mean that we're doing the kind of like the split up graphic novel situation, that we can kind of presume that what comes next is kind of the start to a new story and that we don't have to wait an entire year before we actually get a new story. I mean, it's nice to see they're maintaining that same story structure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm totally happy about that. I'm glad this story is coming to a close for more than one reason, but mainly because it allows us to do other little mini stories in the season. And if we want to have season long arcs with B plots or C plots, you know, with Kramer and Frost and things like that, or Kramer and Chilblain. I think that's fine. Like, I think, you know, there doesn't need to be some sort of like interweaving thing in there. We can resolve stories and bring characters back from other story arcs changed, you know, like in things like that. But like, I don't think Kramer's done. I don't think, you know, clearly Joe has some things he's got to work with, and Frost has some stuff she's got to work with the Chilblain. But as far as like the forces and Barry and Iris, you know, reluctance to start a family and the Speed Force and all that kind of stuff, that's done. And we can start a new little mini arc.
Yeah. And I am excited to see what comes next. But we, you know, this episode, man, love was definitely in the air. Not only just the love of family and family love, but also romantic love. Sisko and Camilla firing all cylinders. You know, Camilla has always had one of the most incredible story arcs on this show. I mean, just from the moment she shows up, she's just so in love and like the perfect girlfriend for Sisko. And she goes through this really impressive arc where you see her really be this incredible girlfriend for Sisko, who just really is all about loving Sisko. And then, you know, when you see her later, she's actually like really in love with Sisko and like this perfect girlfriend for Sisko. And now here we are at the kind of the completion of their story. And man, she is just, it's amazing to me how we've seen her evolve, because now she's this like so in love and this perfect girlfriend for Sisko.
I think the theme of what you're trying to say is that she's a one-dimensional character.
They gave her nothing. She was written in like, we need Sisko to leave, and so here's a character to make him fall in love with and leave. And then that took a while, and so it's like, well, do we do anything with her? Nah. Like, well, we make a mirror version of her. That happened. Yeah. To get her out of the way so that she could come back and be the perfect girlfriend for Sisko. But like, Literally, that is all that character has been, which is totally unfortunate. It's unfortunate for a number of reasons, but regardless, here they are now. At the end of, you know, the end of Sisko's run, you know, the next episode is based on the title, I think we can presume is the official finale for Vibe and for Sisko. We're going to see these two crazy kids go off into the sunset and probably work for Argus, if I had to guess.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I'm not entirely sure with. But like, does Argus have a Miami facility? I don't know. And the name on the text message that both of them were kind of like, oh, you know. There's an expression, especially that Camilla made about that. Yeah. And I'm curious. I don't know if it's Argus or not. I mean, Argus in Miami, like Miami Vice, like that would be a cool little spinoff show. Maybe we can do, you know, some Argami Vice.
Argus, I love it. Vice. No, that'd be great. Know. Or we could know. Just like, so it's like CSI Miami, but it'd be Argus Miami.
Yeah. Like Sisko's tracking down a meta who's made entirely out of cocaine.
Yeah. And then when he makes some comment, he puts on the glasses, and then there's the yelling thing. Ah!
Yeah.
Be great. See, Argus Miami, starring Sisko and Camilla, where she is going to have this most amazing arc where at the end of that series, seven seasons in, she'll be the most amazing girlfriend for Sisko. All right. We also, love is not just in the air for those two, because it seems like Chester and Allegra, I don't know. It seems like there's little sparks flying there.
Chilegra?
Chilegra?
Or Alester?
Alester.
Alester. Hey!
I like Alester. Let's go with Alester so the internet will choose the other one. Yeah, there you go. That's great. I don't know if I'm shipping them or not. Like, I'm fine with it. I'm not against their relationship, but this seems a little out of left field.
Well, it was one of those, like, they're being, you know, doing PDA, being very, you know, lovey-dovey and stuff. And then they're like, maybe. And then like, no, they both look away. Yeah. I don't think that's going to fly.
You don't think so?
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I don't know. It might. But like the way they reacted to it, they're kind of like, you know, because, you know, you see that going on right in front of you and they're like, you know,
Chester needs to get some game though. Cause like his whole move with Coffee Shop Girl was, I'm going to go on the internet and talk about her and never actually like go up and ask her out.
I'm going to go on the internet and stalk her.
Yeah. Chester might need a little personal growth before he gets into a committed relationship.
Whatever happened to Coffee Shop Girl? Why do I not remember what happened with her?
She's chilling out with Java Joe and, you know.
Java Joe.
Remember Java Joe?
Yeah, I remember Java Joe.
Yeah, they're all hanging out, you know, off screen with
got
Naked
Java
Linda
Joe.
Park and McSnurtle. And yeah, all the
what about Cappuccino Chick?
Oh, yeah.
Java Joe, that, cappuccino chick.
Somewhere in there, yeah. That's a great name for her. There we go. But that's the thing, right? So I think with Chester Allegra does make a comment about how she wants to kind of upgrade her power set, get more accustomed so that she can be, you know, more involved. And I mean, I think that's fair. We've got a meta on the team, but she, like, her power set has been really used as more of like a technical, like a, almost like a battery to some extent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to plug in Allegra here, like, her power's here, and that's going to make the super science work. And I think, you know, she's saying that she wants to get a little bit more out in the field. And, I mean, it's a cool power set that I think can, especially as, you know, if they've got the budget for it, can really, really look pretty sweet. So we'll see where they take her character. I've been looking forward to Allegra having, you know, kind of her own arc that isn't tied to, what was the last Wells we got? Nash. Yeah. Oof, that was not a great... That was not a great storyline.
I mean, you know, it's kind of weird, I guess. It's like, you look just like my Earth whatever sidekick.
Yeah, my surrogate daughter. You're her doppelganger. Oh, okay, cool. I'm not her though. Yeah. Okay, that's the end of storyline.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like Barry's fought through that. We've seen that before.
Right, exactly. It's kind of hard for us as an audience to get behind that. But anyway, so we'll see where she ends up going. Chester and Allegra have been, to some extent, blank slates. So there's a lot they can potentially do with those characters. I do hope they tone down kind of the audience winkingness that Chester has been. Like, he's a little too excited for everything. And, you know, I feel like this late in the game, that feels a little played out. Like, that was fine for Cisco season one, but we're 7 seasons in now. And even with Chester showing up, I mean, at this point, we've been through a crisis. We've been through, you know, alien invasion. Like, you know, the cool factor in this world should be a little bit more jaded than the kind of energy that Chester's been bringing. So I will say that if they do end up in a situation where they kind of have Allegra and Chester kind of, you know, doing some back and forth, will they, won't they? Hopefully it allows for maybe his character to mature a little bit.
That'd be nice.
All right. So the forces, man, the forces, the family has a lot of force in it.
Wait, hold on. We forgot something.
Caitlin also in this episode?
No, she was.
Yeah,
she
was.
And Chester. Cecile also in this episode.
Oh, that's right. Cecile was also in this episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the family forces. You know, actually, I thought about the way they knocked out Cecile was probably because there was so much mental shenanigans going on in this episode that, based on the way that her power works, it almost feels like you have to kind of remove her from the board.
Yeah, because she could do a lot of damage. Like, I mean, she's not fully trained. I don't think
she's got her Cecile sense, man.
Well, she does, yeah. But, like, I don't think she, as a character right now, is comfortable enough to use those powers offensively.
No, but that's the thing. The way that her powers have always worked, like except for when she was in the you know, the thinker chair, the way that her powers have always worked have always been very passive, in the sense that she's like chilling, and then all of a sudden, like, she picks up on some mental shenanigans. And so, given the fact that there were so many, like, you know, mind controlling and mind wiping and, you know, importing memories and that sort of thing, I feel like that, like, she would. It would seem really off for her character to be present and not know what's going on. Because she doesn't have to do anything actively for that. It's very much been a passive ability.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I didn't mind the fact that she got taken off the board. I think it fits that where the story is, but whether or not the story is warranted is another question. I watched this episode, Bell.
So did I.
Very much from the mindset. That's good. Very much from the mindset of Han Solo talking to Finn. With that, that's not how the Force works. Except it's Speed Force. Or, you know, all the Forces. Why not? So much is wrong. Wrong! Nothing makes sense. Everything is off. Nothing. This is not how the Speed Force works.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going to throw all that aside. But what I don't understand, like, the biggest question for me coming into here is, the other Forces were the ones responsible for the big hurricane thing.
Yeah.
They had no idea of it. Like, couldn't they have? And that's what I don't understand. Like, how did they make it? And why did they have no knowledge that they were making it?
So I headcanoned that because I was struggling with that too. But I headcanoned that with more of, like, they don't really fully understand their powers. And so it's kind of like, oh, I'm mad. And so now there's a storm. You know, it's like, you know, do you cry because it's raining, or is it raining because you cry? Like, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just so, like, I don't get it. Like, what caused them to do that? Was it them using their power? I don't know. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. It's just all of a sudden there's this big hurricane and it's all the forces. Oh, they're doing right. it. And that's why Nora wanted to kill them all, because she knew they were going to make the forces. But why didn't she? Why couldn't she have just been like from the beginning? Hey, guys, this thing's going to happen. So let's figure out a way to like not have it happen. Like,
and she was, gods must be crazy, my friend.
but that's what I don't understand. Like, you know, she's like, I died once. I don't want to die again. And they're going to try to kill me. And then, so I'm going to kill all of them, but then I'll be alone. And that's what ended up, but I don't know, like her logic from the get go was just weird and I don't understand it. And I don't get where the storm came from. And I mean, it was kind of cool seeing Barry throwback to season one, blowing up the hurricane or the tornado.
That was a cool throwback. That's true.
Yeah. Like, down with that. Totally cool. But like, can you explain where the storm came from? Can you explain why that they're causing it and why they have no power to stop it other than to give Barry their like part of their power to supercharge him to stop it? Like, why?
Yeah,
I'm glad it wasn't a beam episode. I'm glad it wasn't a beam fight. I'm glad they didn't like stand around the hurricane and all shoot their beams up into the air. Like, I'm glad that didn't happen. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't understand why the tornado's there in the first place.
It's been some rough conclusions to storylines this season. Because we're dealing with the, you know, the Care Bear Stare defeating Mirror Master, and then now we've got this situation. And you know, so the tornado didn't bother me as much. I hear what you're saying, and you're exactly right. I think that, so we were wrong. Let's just acknowledge this.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Speed Force was the Speed Force all along. Like, we were so off on that.
Yeah, and that kind of makes me sad. Maybe that's why I'm, you know, so disillusioned with the ending.
Well, it's like you're watching this thing and like, well, none of this makes sense. None of this tracks. And then it's like, no, but this is how it is. I was like, but that doesn't make sense with anything that you've told us before. You know what I mean? Like, this, it's like, you rewrote the rules. And also for this, like, I'm fine. Look, Nora, I am not anti-retcon, but it's got to matter. It's got to be worth the retcon. And like, what is this?
And Nora does the whole vibrating hand thing, which is, you know, the only other character to do that has been Eobard Thawne. And like,
yeah, why did she have like blue and red lightning? Like, why?
I mean, blue in this instance has to be a strength force.
But the red
still doesn't make any sense.
No,
but that's like, the thing. She never shot green lightning either. Why is she shooting yellow, red, blue? That's the only lightning she ever shoots. She doesn't shoot green. She doesn't shoot magenta.
Right.
Like,
and like, so this is the thing. My assumption is that it has to do with maybe a creative decision, because we've seen speedsters use those colors in the past, even though, again, that doesn't track with how we've seen the speedsters use the colors. But if that was the case, then why wouldn't she use purple? Because we've also seen XS with purple lightning. Like, it made no sense. It made literally no sense.
Yeah, that's a decision that I just didn't get. I don't know why she had all three colors, if not to indicate, you know, how we've interpreted those colors to mean, and right. I mean, clearly didn't.
Well, and here's just, let me hit you with another one, Bell. So one of the biggest contentions, like frustrations about this entire plotline, has been the weird way in which the forces are like, they're people, but they're also forces. But because of the way they came into the world, we're also treating them like they're Barry and Iris's kids. And all right, so fine. If the idea is that these forces have kind of like attached themselves to a human host and like bonded with them to kind of become this new entity that is a combination of the force and that entity. Fine. Nora's dead. Like, are we to assume that this literally grabs Nora from a different point in time? I mean, the Still Force kind of did that. So is this literally Nora? Is this actually Barry's mom then this entire time? Or is this Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, it's another inconsistency in the whole, you know, They wanted to tie in a family thing because they wanted to make Barry and Iris think about starting a family. And so
right.
they did this route. But the problem is from the get-go, it didn't make any sense because Nora, you know, like the Speed Force chose that form to make Barry feel more comfortable. But the Still Force, the Sage Force, and the Strength Force didn't choose forms. They chose people. Like, yeah. If from the get-go, those forces had not been, they had not been actual people, but been like, this is a physical form that I have chosen or whatever, you know?
Right. And so also, why are they living in this? They're living in the Speed Force now, right?
Yeah. Like, how are they living? I don't, shouldn't they have the Still Force live in the Still Force? I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. All right, this one is the one that really, whoo. All right, I am not pleased about this. So they took the Sage Force and the Strength Force into the Speed Force at a time when the Speed Force was dead, so that the Speed Force wouldn't find it. So there's so many problems with that. Let me just go ahead and just acknowledge this. The Speed Force exists outside of time. You don't travel back in time in the Speed Force. That doesn't make any sense. That's not the way the Force works.
Yeah, like, Speed Force is like it's a fourth dimensional construct. So like it experiences every point of time all the time.
Yeah, that makes literally no sense. Now, even if you wanted to give the Speed Force its own timeline, which doesn't make any sense, and it's frustrating to even say that. Like even if we say that, okay, well on this show, they've explained before that this is not the case, but let's say they're backtracking on, they're going to retcon it. Okay, fine. So the Speed Force now exists and it's got its own timeline, and we now go back to a point when the Speed Force is dead so that the Speed Force won't know that it's there.
Well, hold on. See that? Well, here's the one thing about that. Like he went back in time. Did he say when Nora was dead or when the Speed Force was dead?
He said when the Speed Force was dead.
Okay, so how does he access the time when the Speed Force wasn't there? Because
there's no speed. Like, exactly. And how would we have been, like, if you're there, he'd have no Speed Force to tap into because there's no Speed Force. And also, the place wouldn't even exist.
Well, yeah, and, you know, because he couldn't travel further past the crisis because there wasn't anything there. So exactly. How was he able to travel to a point where there is no Speed Force?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. In fact, I thought originally when they said that he was going to bring him to some place, I thought he was going to bring him to the Vanishing Point, because that would have made some semblance of sense.
Yeah,
there was no Speed Force in the Vanishing Point. Yeah.
Speaking of the Vanishing Point, did you catch the Legends reference in this episode? I'm sure you didn't.
Which one?
When Caitlin was at her apartment reading a book, that book's author was Rebecca Silver.
Oh, wait, is that also, that's
McRory?
Right?
Yeah, that's McRory's alter ego. Alias that he writes by, which I loved it. I thought it was great.
Doesn't he write like romance novels?
Yeah,
he writes,
like the most popular romance novel, like a romance novelist in like all time.
Yeah, that's great, man. I hear they're fire.
Hey, oh, this guy with the jokes.
There we go. All right. So those are my major gripes, is that like nothing, this, it just doesn't make sense with what they've like. And I am fine with the show building its own canon. And it, like, there have been times where it's been a little wonky in terms of, especially the time travel rules. And, you know, the burden is on us to try to figure out how it all fits in a headcanon fashion. But here, man, is just, it's such a mess from so many different angles. You just have to wonder what was...
Crisis. That's all I have to say. Crisis. Moving on.
Wow. I hope that's, I mean, yeah, man. Wow.
Okay. I don't know. Nothing else really makes sense to me. I don't really understand the forces just kind of in general residing in the Speed Force kind of thing. Like I figured they would have their own sort of force or area. I don't know.
I want to put it out to the audience though, man. Cause like, to me, like this pulls from a storyline that I never got interested in and never read. So, I mean, like I acknowledge the fact that like, this is not something that I'm, you know, I was skeptical of this cause I was never really excited about this storyline in the comics. I never actually read it cause it just seemed like, you know, trying too much to be like Geoff Johns, or rather trying to be too much like Blackest Night. And I was like, nah, this seems derivative. This feels derivative. This is unnecessary for what the Flash is. And I'm just not here for it. And so, you know, if there are listeners who like loved that storyline, who can maybe educate us a little bit more, by all means, please write into the show, flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com. And yeah, educate us a little bit on that, because, you know, maybe we are missing something that was explained on the show, or maybe we're just missing a component of this that is a deep dive that requires more of a deeper knowledge of the source material, which I'm willing, my heart and mind are open.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say to that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird that they would adopt a storyline from the comics that messes so heavily with their internal logic and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Or at least to adapt it and not adapt it in a way that doesn't do that. I mean, maybe they couldn't, like.
I don't like hating, man. I love to like get behind the creative team and everything else, but there is kind of like this feeling of like, I don't know whose call all of this was, but like, have they watched the show? Like, like, you know what I mean? Like, what, you know, did, or was it like, maybe I hadn't really considered the Crisis thing. Maybe there was a mindset that after Crisis, you know, the giant whiteboard that we love to speculate exists in the writer's room was just literally wiped clean. And it's like, all right, new Earth, new rules, new multiverse. Like we can start anew. Speed Force, different rules. Everything's different. And
well, yeah,
I wish they had taught like at least acknowledged that if that was the case. Because this is the thing, it's not fun to speculate when you're speculating under false pretenses. You know,
yeah,
like, I'm fine being wrong, especially if like it's good stuff that comes out of it. But like if I'm wrong and it's like, oh, you changed all the rules. Well, you know, I don't know. It's hard to get invested.
Like, I wonder if they just had, like, you know, what season was Crisis? Was that, it was season 5, right?
Right. 6, wasn't it?
Beginning of season 6.
Wasn't it midway through season 6?
Yeah. So I'm just wondering if they had, like, a game plan up to Crisis. They're like, here's how we want to go with things. Here's kind of, like, the idea, the way we want to move the arc. Here's what we're thinking about going everything to build up to this. Kind of like, you know, how like Kevin Feige had the idea, okay, we're going to go up to the Infinity War. And maybe they didn't have it totally fleshed out at the beginning, but like by a certain point in phase one, they had fleshed out, okay, this is how we're going to build everything up to Infinity War. And maybe they had that. Maybe the writers had that. And then after Crisis, they either didn't build, a storyline Bible for the next several seasons because either they weren't sure they were going to get renewed or for whatever reason. But yeah, I mean, it feels like now, yeah, you're right. Like, it just feels like everything's just been wiped clean and it's just, yeah, do whatever.
You almost get the sense that too, the cast didn't really get behind the storyline as well. Like, and I mean, again, we're all coming off of COVID and we're all exhausted. So, I mean, like that was part of it, but like, I mean, we've commented before the season, like, you know, Barry looks a little older than he did before. Like, and everybody just doesn't, like, it didn't seem like their heart was in. In fact, I don't think that I've seen Grant's heart get into any scene up until the very last one.
Yeah.
He got real excited there at the end. And that's going to bring us to this week's
Speedster Speculation.
All right, Belle, Speedster Speculation. So we got a tease, if you will, for where things are going. And I love that impulse, man. You love that impulse?
The impulse about where things are going, or like,
yeah, I mean, that was the line he said. I love that impulse. I'm just asking.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought that was a good line.
No, it was great. It was great. We're all like, we know what that means.
Yeah, he said the thing.
Yeah. So they're going to, they walk off screen to go make an impulse. And maybe they'll have an excess of impulses.
Hey-o.
There we go. Anyway, here's the deal. So, yeah, the kids are coming. The real kids are coming, which is good and exciting. And that's what we've wanted to see. Perhaps from this, we see a return of Nora of XS. Perhaps her name isn't going to be Nora. Maybe it's going to be Dawn. We don't necessarily know what to expect there. But regardless, we do know, because the promotional images have gone out, like, this is not overly spoilery territory. We know that Impulse is coming, and if you didn't know that after this episode, then you do now. So here's my question: the back half of this season, we're gonna be dealing with the kiddos, and we got comic book. You know, I mean, like, I guess the Forces are comic book characters, but we got like old school. We got some comic book characters with some legacy attached to them, right? Yeah. And we've got potentially characters returning that we haven't seen in quite some time. Is this season redeemable? That's the speculation.
I don't know. I mean, the Nora story arc was like one of the best things that we've had recently on the show.
I loved it, yeah.
So I'm hoping they take Nora,
West Allen, Nora. I mean, given the fact that they just had the Speed Force
Nora, Nora West Allen, yeah. That's going to confuse the hell out of me. Like, from henceforth, when we refer to Speed Force Nora, we just refer to her as the Speed Force.
I agree.
And even though they did so hard to try to make us not do that in the show, I don't care, because Nora West Allen is Nora for me. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was such a great story arc, such a great, you know, performance and everything. I'm hoping that they take the same care and consideration into Impulse and bringing back Nora that they did the first time around. And if they do, then I think that, yes, absolutely, this season's salvageable. yeah, we have this weird setup and everything, and we had to kill some time. And so, yeah, maybe, you know, decisions were made. but now here we go. We can get into the cruft and the meat and this, the deliciousness, you know? So like, I'm thinking maybe that's what hopefully is going to go on here. If they take the same care and consideration that they did into Nora West Allen's original storyline, I think they can do the same with Bart.
Yeah, I'm excited for it, especially if it also means bringing Nora back in some capacity. You know, I look back to that whole arc that she had. I remember, but kind of making the comparison to Wally. Like, I feel like we got with Nora kind of what I wanted with Wally originally, but we never really fully got. And it's almost like they figured it out when Nora kind of came on the scene. Yeah. And so now it's going to be interesting because now we've dealt with, you know, a sidekick who's also a younger brother. Showing up now, and then we got a daughter who is very like who is their daughter, who sacrificed herself, by the way, and then we get these kind of faux kids in the various forces that was confusing, but at least from a character standpoint, impacted them to the extent that they're like, these are our responsibility. They were unplanned, but now we got to deal with them, and now it's like, all right, well now we're going to a planned kid. You know what I mean? Like if you think about it. Nora showed up like we hadn't even started yet, you know, like what I mean, like we figure eventually we're gonna have kids, but you know, like, you know, so it's like, it's not like they were planning for her. It's not like she was unplanned per se. It's just she shows up. Then you have the forces, and that's like kind of an unplanned situation. It's like, we didn't intend for this to happen, and now it's here, and now we got to deal with it. Now we're literally going from, hey, let's go make a baby, and then like 5 seconds later, hey, mom and dad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's
well, it takes the mystery out of it. It's like, she's like, you know, she doesn't know she's pregnant or not. And then like 5 minutes later, her son from the future comes up. It's like, well, guess I'm pregnant.
Hey, what are y'all doing? Oh, I didn't need to see that. Like,
anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
So that'll be so a little bit different, I think, in their mindset going in. I gotta imagine though, there is something that's like, can't we just, like, don't get me wrong, skipping the baby years, I'm here for it. I'm all about it. But at the same time, there is kind of a sense of like, man, like, you know, we're gonna have, like, you know, these kids popping up left and right who are like, hey, can I crash here for the night? Yeah. Like, can I have $20? Like, you know. But no, I think you're right. I think that there is a lot of potential in storylines. I'm excited a weird kind of way. The way in which this season kind of fell flat for me has actually got me more excited for the notion of actually getting the real kids in.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to see where they go with it. I think the actor they've got to play Bart, it seems like he's got the right kind of energy for the character. I'm shocked they're going with the comic book accurate look to that costume. I've never thought the Impulse costume was a very good look, but like even like the comic book accurate one. And so, hey, you know, props to them for going accurate.
Yeah.
I hope he can pull it off. I really do.
I like the costume, man.
Better in action than in stills. That's my hope anyway.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I'm excited to see it, and I'm excited to see him play the character too.
Hey guys, this is Chad Rook, and you are listening to Flash TV Talk.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, man, we got some listener feedback in this week. First one is coming in from Nick L. What did Nick L have to say?
Well, they said, hey, you amazing fellows. First time writing in since season 6 listener. Love the show and both of y'all's theory. Listening to how the end of the show is going to go, I think Flash and Eobard are going to clash once more and then zoom into a portal. Zoom into a portal, is that a pun? Zoom into a portal. Anyway, the portal itself is made of speed force, and time force shoots a lightning bolt into the past, striking season 1 Barry, starting the new show series.
Ooh.
Interesting.
I like that.
Interesting. So,
I mean, I at the moment, it's hard for me to put that kind of faith in what I'm seeing from the creative team to have that kind of level of like homage and payoff and everything else. I mean, but at the same time, we got the tornado. So I don't know. It's possible.
You know, something just crept into my mind reading Nick's comment was, and you talking about, you know, not having faith in the creative team. I know Batman shows and anything DC related in the Batman universe with the Batman mythos has been plagued for a long time by Warner Brothers saying, you know, we don't want Batman on TV. We don't want this. You can't use...
That was years ago.
Yeah. And it's laxed up now. And I know, you know, we're on the horizon of a Flash movie here. And I'm wondering, even though we had a crossover with Ezra Miller's Flash with Grant Gustin, like, I'm wondering if there are any kind of things like, this is going to be a plot line that we're exploring in the Flash movie. Do not touch it. I wonder if there's anything like that going on that's preventing them from doing some bigger things from the comics or making more bold and interesting decisions on how they want to take the Flash.
That would be terrible, especially if it affected Eobard for the last season. That would not be good.
Yeah, like if they're, you know, and granted they've established that there is a multiverse, and we as viewers of this show and as consumers of comic book media in general, we understand this. We get it.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, I think even the general audiences.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, anybody who could. Yeah. Anybody who. Like, nobody is watching Michael Keaton's Batman and then watching Christian Bale's Batman and being like, they're not the same person. Nothing is logically consistent in this universe. Nobody's doing that. But for some reason, you know, you got some coke-addled Warner Brothers executive who's like so focused on the bottom line of these movies and making sure that they make all this kind of money, because they're commodities to them, right? They're properties that are designed to make money. And so
gotta sell them lunchboxes.
Yeah, gotta sell them lunchboxes, gotta make that merch. And so I fear that those kinds of decisions are being made by people who don't fully truly understand the audience that are watching these things, and either A, think that the audience is stupid, or B, thinks that their other properties can cannibalize from other properties because they don't think that we understand this multiversal aspect of it. So I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm being paranoid.
I mean, we'll see.
Maybe I don't understand movie executives, but you know, I do understand movie audiences, and we're not dumb, you know.
I think that's fair, because that obviously has been a situation in the past. But I think you're right. I think at this point, like, you know, into the Spider-Verse and
yeah, but that was Sony, Crisis, different studio.
No, but I mean, like, even with the Crisis that we just had, I think I would be completely shocked. I mean, it, like, you know, it does. I mean, again, there is precedent for it, but even still, I would be shocked if that was the case. All right, man, this next one is coming in from James Mono, who writes in. And what does James Mono have to say?
Well, they asked a question, who is Harrison Wells? And the answer is, there's one member of the Flash family whose origin is not so pre-crisis. He is more of a time-based than speed-based origin. My roommate has been throwing a theory in my face for a couple of years. Years! Sometimes I've been more inclined to believe him. This season, just given your own desire to name him Timeless Wells or Wells Prime. There's another way to phrase both of these. Timeless Wells can mean devoid of limits, just as Prime, the ultimate, or perhaps Maximum Wells, or Maxwell, Max Mercury, the new avatar of the Speed Force, Impulse's teacher.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Okay. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. So James, great theory from your roommate, for sure. And that would have made a lot of sense, too. Like, the way they brought in Timeless Wells and everything. And it would have been a great kind of conclusion to that character to some extent.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you're stretching like Stretch Armstrong on that one.
I think this was sent in before the episode actually went out.
But,
so,
yes, I agree. Like, all of that would be super freaking cool, but I didn't... yeah, after seeing this episode, I don't know. I think... I don't know. Smiles time.
Cool concept. Very cool concept.
Absolutely. Awesome, I would love to see that. That would be freaking awesome.
Well, and I think there's been a lot of desire for Max Mercury to be on the Flash. And I mean, people have commented about Harrison Wells kind of being this universe's Max Mercury, if not a name, then just kind of an embodiment. But yeah, I mean, like, we'll see. I mean, we've still got probably at least another, we got a back half of this season and probably one more to go. So it ain't over till it's over, but we'll see what's out there. Well, y'all, thanks for sending those theories. And like I said, especially for listeners who are more kind of connected to the Force plot lines from the comics, let us know if we're missing something huge or you know, if there's some component that would make us like look back on this first half of season 7 in a better light. Because I enjoy loving the show. I do not enjoy not liking the show.
Yeah, you know,
I hate like fan communities that get on podcasts or get on, you know, YouTube or whatever it is, and just bash something they don't like. That's not what we're about. There's no bashing here. It's just acknowledging like, well, this is different and doesn't make sense and we want it to. And you know, I don't know. It's not meant to be a bash fest. It's just meant to be a, I guess, a review, if nothing
else. Well, and, you know, our view isn't necessarily, you know, the only one, right? I mean, a lot of people are in that same boat. They enjoy the show. They're big fans, but it's just, there's some things you just can't reconcile. And it just, you know, it's that cognitive dissonance to where you want to like the show, but then you have stuff like this happen and it's just hard, right? It's, you know, I love the show. I want it to be good. And but I'm not an apologist. I'm not going to, you know, sit there and say something that's bad is good. But
no, exactly, yeah. Right. We try to look for the good always, yeah. But it's not like we're going to pretend like the bad's not there.
Right, right. That's for the Walking Dead after show.
All right, man. Well, that's going to do it for us for, I think, this week. We want to thank y'all so much for listening. You know, of course, you can follow us at Flash TV Talk, or you can follow Bell at Ring That Bell.
But if 280 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
And for the latest news and daily discussions of all things Flash, head over to Facebook, facebook.com/FlashTVTalk.
And as always, special thanks to Charlie Bach, who provides music for our show. You can listen to the rest of his awesome stuff at soundcloud.com/CharlieBach.
That's right. We are a proud member of the TV Talk family at tvtalk.fm. Head over there for some other, more great TV Talk and podcasts. This is going to do it for us for this week. But until next time, we'll be back in a flash.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.